welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back at the League Cup victory over Cove Rangers, previewing the final group match at Stirling Albion, and we'll hear from Russell McLean, Jason Brown and manager Jim McAnally. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Have you managed to cool down since Saturday yet then?
Yeah, it's been a warm week for the northeast of Scotland. I'm not sure we're quite acclimatised to this sort of conditions, that's for sure.
It was warm. I mean, at least you kind of dressed for the occasion. I made the Cardinal sin of wearing a pair of jeans, thinking that because it was Balmoor, there would still be a kind of breeze, but my God, it was warm.
Yeah, you've got a feel for the players that are out there running about, because certainly by the time that we left, it felt like we'd done a 90-minute match as well, just with the conditions. Very warm afternoon.
I tell you, I came home and, by Christ, the jeans was off, T-shirt was off, and I was in the shower, but my God, I was just as hit coming back out again, which is usually the typical thing when you come out of a hate shower. Anyway, enough about me and my hate showers, let's... move on to the football. So, as we said, Cove on Saturday, this last Saturday, I think it was maybe a slightly surprising result, in terms of how the game went, but before we were looking at it, I certainly didn't think we were going to score three against them.
No, and a friend said to me on Saturday night, he actually put on a coupon, and he had Cove on it. And he said it Cove at a really, really good price. So thankfully his coupon didn't come in. But yeah, he said that the odds were heavily in Cove's favour. And I think a lot of people outside the Peterhead camp would probably have predicted a Cove win. And the fact that our record against Cove hasn't been that great in scoring, in terms of scoring either. Yeah, I think for the outside, seeing 3-1 Peterhead might have caught a few people by surprise.
Yeah, before we dive into the game, we should thank Gary Fraser for joining us on commentary. Gary was as entertaining as I thought he would have been. Just such a great guy, and he was, but other than that, being as funny and jovial, he actually talked a good game as well.
Yeah, he had a lot of good points. I think we've seen it with Scott last week. They mention it as from a player's perspective within playing the game, and some things that we maybe might overlook throughout the commentary they pick up on, and I think it's a really good balance between the commentary and the analysing of the game, but also seeing it from a player's perspective. So I think, yeah, it's been really good. It was good having Scott, and it was good having Gary on as well on Saturday.
Yeah, it was good to see Gary in such a good form anyway, considering it's going to be about December before he's actually going to be playing again. He was certainly in good form, so we'll wish him well with his continued recovery. But anyway, I think the game itself, straight away, I think we were almost a sort of 1-0 down within 40 seconds. Cove had a great chance. I mean, it fell to somebody you would think would score from there, Rory McAllister, but with a free header, he didn't score.
Yeah, we know all about Rory McAllister. We know exactly what he brings to football. It's maybe one of them that's come too early in the game. About maybe 10, 15 minutes in, you might have think he's sort of to speed with the game, but it was maybe the luck that we got. Obviously, we said they missed the header, and then shortly after we got the parking score. But I think from the coach's point of view, they'll be disappointed. Not only has Rory missed the target, but you know, he maybe tried to work keep it early on, but it wasn't to be for them.
Yeah, and as you said, I mean, literally just straight up the other end of the park within about a minute or so, Scott Brown gets the opening goal. And it was a good all-round play, good hold-up play from Russell McLean. We do get a bit of a break, but that's the kind of breaks maybe we haven't been getting in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think we're due a bit of a break in that sense, because also last season we didn't have really that striker and focal point that Russell McLean gives us. We mentioned last week how good that we thought his hold-up play was against Hearts, bringing others into the game and coming deep with the ball, and maybe got his reward on Saturday. Also, he didn't score the first goal, but he was a pivotal part in the build-up. And also allowed Scott to finish off again. We're seeing what Scott's all about. He's getting forward, getting in the box. And, you know, we missed him against Hearts, so it was good to see him back in the pitch at Balmoor on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a typical Scott Brown goal. You know, he's late into the box. He's there to to get any of that kind of rebounds. And okay, yeah, it was a big deflection, but he was there to take the shot on. Anybody else, maybe they wouldn't have been there, then the chance would have been gone.
Yeah, we have seen it a few times at the end of last season that players are, that they'll have a shot, but they haven't quite got that composure, and we've seen it through the last couple of years with Scott Brown. He has got a tremendous finish. Off the top of my rank, it was maybe East Fife, he scored that volley. Again, a slight deflection, but again, he's in the right place at the right time, and late runs, hung outside the box, and deserves his goal.
After that, it was mostly Peterhead. Well, Carmen had a chance. And it's one of those where he could argue maybe he should have gone down, maybe he'd been a little naive. He didn't want to encourage anybody to dive, but he was a touch on him, which maybe did affect his shot.
Yeah, potentially open a can of worm, but if he goes down, I think he gets the penalty, and he's almost being punished for staying on his feet. And you can maybe understand why some players do go down slightly easier than others, because they know if they stay on their feet, the referee's going to wave it away, whereas if there is contact and he goes down, the chance of him getting a penalty are a lot higher. And I think Lyle's a bit more experienced. He would maybe, you know, take that contact and go down. But on the flip side, you've got to give him credit. He's not looked for the penalty. He's continued with the game. Again, I just feel it's one of them situations where a player is penalised for trying to be honest and do the right thing.
We did hear Jim just shortly after asking him, just go down, why did you go down? But again, you know, young lad, he's trying to do the right things, and you've got to praise him for that.
That's maybe what is wrong with, I don't say players, but the refereeing, where he's been punished. So in that instance, is it not worthy of giving the penalty because the intent was there? We speak about, you know, a player swinging an arm, he'll get a red card for intent. Lyle's trying to stay on his feet, and yet, obviously, Jim, he's quite right. He's telling him to go down, because if he gets the contact, he's more likely going to get a penalty. It's just, I guess, that's a frustrating part of the game where the referee's just overlooked it, and he'll decide he's not given a penalty because he hasn't gone down.
We'll bring up another incident that happened in the second half, which may just kind of go against what you said about the referee, with the Darren and Kesson incident, but we'll come back to that. Almost like the Peterhead goal, the chance was it had come from a Cove missing their opportunity. Cove then go up to the other end of the park and then they score the equaliser.
Yeah, I like their goal. It's calm and composed, but when it's McAllister and Mitch Megason, you sort of expect that. These guys have been around for a long time at this level of football. They know exactly what it's about. Easy for McAllister to take a shot from his position. He's seen Martin Tosh in a better position. He squared it across the goal and he's finished it a dying break along. Really, much of a chance from that sort of range.
No, and it looked as though at that early kind of stage, it looked as though it was going to be a good game. It was end to end, but without really testing the goalkeepers too much. I think either keeper really had too much save to make. Brett Long did have a save from Leach maybe 5 minutes before half time. But other than that, there wasn't much too much, and I think both defences maybe were on top.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It was a good game, good midfield battle. I thought the Ferry Brown up against Vigers and Draper was really good to see. Pitting their wits against experienced guys, you know, they've come from playing Premiership football just a couple of years ago. It was good play from both teams just up until the final third, and as you said, both defences sort of really come out on top with either keeper really being tested that much.
And then just before half time, which was a good time to score, Lyle Cameron got us 2-1 up. This time it was a good hold up play from Nia Payne.
Yeah, it's a side of the game that we maybe haven't really seen that much of since he's been at Peterhead. He's either been playing the winger, he's got that pace in behind. If that's something that Nia can bring along with Russell McLean, that's, you know, that partnership could be really good over the next season. As I said, it's not something Nia Payne would think he's going to be used for a lot, his hold-up play, but he did really well. He allowed Lyle Cameron to get forward and, you know, a cracking finish from a young lad as well.
I really like Nia Payne. I think he's going to develop into a really good player. Whether or not he can go higher, I don't know, but he's certainly going to be a good player for us this season.
There was something about him when he came in just after the restart, the start of the year. obviously Jim wasn't sure whether he's a striker, whether he's a winger. I just think it's his work rate. I think it maybe goes unnoticed. The pressing that he does, it sometimes forces the defence of the other team to go long, which sort of plays into our hands a wee bit. I think it's maybe the side of the game that goes unnoticed, as I say, but no, he looks a really good player, and the fact that we've got him for this season, really looking forward to how he partners up with playing.
And we've got to praise his commitment as well, because he's still living down in Yorkshire as well. So, I mean, that's a commitment and a half. I mean, some folk will refuse to drive up for Glasgow to sign for Peterhead because of the journey, and he's coming up for Yorkshire to do that. So that's a hell of a commitment.
I think also you mentioned a while back that he was travelling up to Peterhead, but he wasn't getting paid when he was on trial as well. So again, the commitment that he's shown, he's got to be praised and acknowledged for it.
So in the second half, it was much and such the same again. We got an early goal at the start of the half, which kind of, I think, pretty much killed off the game. But before the goal, it came from a Russell McLean header, which was created by Ryan Conroy's cross. It was a good save by McKenzie.
It's something, the fact that it came from a cross from Conroy at a corner, something I complained about a lot last season, that our set pieces were really poor. So thankfully we've got a goal from a set piece, but also McLean getting off the mark as well. I think we mentioned it the first episode that came back, that the longer a striker goes without a goal, you maybe start to worry, but he's got that goal, got that monkey off his back, so to speak, and hopefully that'll give him the confidence, if he did need it, to go ahead and have a really good season. But no, it's good for him to get off the mark and get his goal, and he took it well as well.
Yeah, it was good for him. I think it was Richie's initial effort was clear off the line, and he was there where you expect him to be. That's where you want your striker to be, just to tap those kind of rebounds home.
There's a few players, once Richie's shot, which some players maybe thought was over the line, a lot of them stopped and looked in line and looked at the referee, whereas McLean didn't. He kept focus and just put the ball in the back of the net, so there was no complaints over it. And as you said, at that point in the game, it sort of killed it off if there was any lingering hopes.
Yeah, and as I said, it pretty much kind of killed off the game. I think McAllister had an effort which Brett Long had saved. I think he got by Danny Strachan inside the box. It was good hands for Brett Long, but apart from that, there was pretty much nothing else in it. And to be honest with you, if I was a cool fan, I'd be pretty unhappy with the what seemed to be lack of intensity from them. They just almost were going through the motions. And this is a team who, by all stretching of imagination, should be or will be kind of at the top end of the table. If that's how they're going to perform, they're maybe going to struggle a little bit.
Based on the performance that they put in against Peterhead, if that's the level that they're at this season, I think they will have a challenging season given the teams that's in the league. But also, if that's the level that we can play at, then I think we'll have a good season. I think it was Paul Hartley was in the press the other day complaining about the intensity of his team compared to Peterhead on Saturday. So he wasn't pleased. But I can't imagine the Clove fans being pleased. Obviously, we've got Hearts and Inverness in the group. You'd expect them to be tough games. But from a Cove point of view, as we said last week, this is probably a marker in terms of our season. Cove maybe thought the same, you know, let's go and try and get the wins that we're marker doing. But yeah, it wasn't to be for them on this occasion.
And they did win last night against Inverness, which kind of, I think that's them finished. They've played all four games, so that's them finished now. But that seems to be, you know, they've lost three, then they've beaten a team higher up in the pyramid in the championship. So, you know, maybe they are a team that maybe will be up and down, hot and cold this season.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because I think they are, on paper, they are the good team. I don't think players like Vigers and Draper are going to come in and settle for a mid-table or a lower half-table finish in League One. They, as we all know, they've got high aspirations of progressing further, but putting in performances against Peterhead like that, from their point of view, will be disappointing. But from us, we're delighted. I thought we played really well. Take that away from the guys. We put in a good shift on Saturday.
Yeah, and so we'll bring up the incident towards the end of the game, around about the 80th minute, with Darren Kesson, who, again, it seems to just come on, and it doesn't really faze him that he's coming off the bench. He just will come on and he'll run about. Like, sometimes he runs about like a headless chicken, but he's got a determination and a drive, which obviously resulted in him dispossessing Scott Ross and then going through on goal. Maybe lacked a little bit of pace to get away from Ross. So from there, he manages to pick a pass out. It does go slightly wide. I think it was Lyle Cameron who was passing it to. Scott Ross has taken him out late. Referee gives a corner. Okay, maybe does it play that gives the advantage. We get the corner, but doesn't go back to Scott Ross for the initial tackle. Clearly, I would say any other referee would have been given that as a yellow.
I struggle to see how that, in the first instance, I struggle to see how it's an advantage, Peterhead, because we're on the edge of the box and then the ball goes wide. So apart from keeping the ball, I don't see what the advantage is. But the referee has, he signals his arms in a way where he points forward to almost indicate, you notice there's a foul, but you've got the ball play on. So it does seem strange that once the ball's gone out, he hasn't either A, gone back to speak to Scott Ross and give him what you call a tell off or book him. So to me, it's either a free kick and a yellow card, or when the ball goes out, it's still a yellow card. Because, you know, is that almost like a professional foul? You know, he's taken one. He knows what he's doing, I think. McKenzie's just taken him out and clattered it. He probably expected a yellow card. But, yeah, I just wonder if it's one of them, because it's so early on this season in the Premier Cup, or whatever it's called these days, that the referees are maybe slightly more lenient with that sort of thing. Be interested to see if it was a league game, whether it would have been, you know, given a yellow card. But again, I don't really see where the advantage came from, to be honest.
There was one in the first half as well. I think it was McLean who was involved, and I think it was Danny Higgins. Again, the defender was dispossessed, and he just straight away just took out McLean. I think it was McLean. It might have been Cameron, but he certainly took somebody out. And although he was maybe about 30 yards from goal, wasn't a goal scoring chance, but again, it was, as you said, it was one of those professional fouls. It's cynical. He knows exactly what he's doing. Surely that would have been a yellow as well.
Yeah, I think both of them were yellow cards. I think there was also an incident where McLean, just down in front of us, the Cove player indicating that it was an elbow. Again, it's one of them that when an elbow is struck you in the face, there is probably an indication that a red card could have been issued. But again, the referee seemed quite lenient with the cards, which again is a good thing. You want to try and let the game flow, but there is times that a yellow card would have been produced. And I think if them incidents had resulted in a yellow card, couldn't really argue with it.
You're saying he's lenient. I just didn't think he had a clue, to be honest with you. I think
new season, I was trying to be diplomatic towards the officials, but we could be good down that line.
Right, let's get the thoughts now of the gaffer Jim McAnally then.
Hi Jim, terrific performance, 3 goals when you saw Robert. It was pleasing. With the 2 really tough games, obviously, where the opposition were going to have a wee bit more of the ball on you, and you sometimes set up accordingly to make sure that they're not going to run over the top of you, etc. And then, you know, we always knew that, like, these 2 games we would change our shape and try and, you know, play with that diamond in the midfield so that we could get our attacking players and our flair players on the team at the one time, and it's fine doing that, but they know that they've got to work their tails off. And I thought the first half, every time Cove got the ball, we were harassing them, we were in their faces. And if we can do that to most teams, the ability we've got in the team, we will score goals.
For the large majority of the game, you kept McAllister and Megan Sinclair. Defensively, you looked pretty solid. Was that another pleasing aspect of your game?
Well, I thought we started pretty poorly, to be honest. I don't know if it's Jason playing against his pals or whatever, where he sometimes feels as though he's got something to prove, but he took a wee while to get warm up, you know. But generally, I mean, even the second half, there's more set pieces than that. We were more likely going to lose a goal, and when you see the size of our team, you know, that can happen. So it's very hard to defend your hopes or the time to set pieces. But I thought in open play, I thought we'd done quite well, you know.
And Rusty coming back and getting his first goal back since his return, how important was that for him to get a goal early on?
I mean, it wasn't wrong, but I don't think he's playing here under any pressure to prove anything to people, because he was reasonably popular when he was here before. And he's only a couple of years older. I mean, he's only turned 23, but, you know, I always say they would improve as he gets older. And I think at the minute you can see his link-up play, certainly he's a lot stronger in it. Not an aspect of his play where I don't know if he ever felt it was that important. But when you watch him now, the minute again he's winning more headers, he's been only a handful. So no, I'm delighted with what we've got there. You know, it's like Hamish Ritchie, just love watching the boy play football. I don't know if he knows how good he can be. Sometimes he could go and do a wee bit more, but we'll get him there because it's just making him feel good about himself. And you know, wee Lyle, see with the pitch being slow sometimes didn't actually help us, because there was a few times in the first half where we could actually have been in with a wee bit slicker play. So we've got that in the locker, and we've still got Andy McCarthy to come back in with his energy. So it was pleasing, but I mean, as much as I'm going to go daft about losing, I'm not going to go daft about winning either, because it's early doors, you know.
Is it a good marker to sort of set where you're at in terms of starting for the league campaign? I know Cove's probably one of the teams that will be up there, but does this make a difference? Do you think that Cove will maybe be better when the league campaign starts?
I mean, there's no doubt we'll both be better, probably, you know what I mean? We'll both improve. But Cove will obviously be the monkey on the backs of being kind of a favourites.
Yeah.
Which, you know, last year probably a wee bit surprise package, this year no, so there'll be maybe a wee bit pressure, whereas we are kind of outsiders and nobody's expecting a lot of us. So I think, you know, if we can just keep working the way we work, you know, the three games the way we've worked, we'll be okay. It'll be okay, and I think winning the day doesn't, you know, it doesn't certainly mean that, you know, that we're going to beat Cove again, but I think it's mentally, I think it's good for the players to beat them.
In terms of, you mentioned Lyle Carmel took his goal well, Scott Brown scored as well, Rusty scoring, so just go through the team this year as well, as opposed to maybe the last couple of seasons when you're maybe relying on one or two.
I just think going forward we've got more, you know, we've got more in us in their positions. Even if you add Hamish into that, you know, and that makes me just sit there when Hamish gets himself in the box, you know, you can buy your penalty, and that's what we'll say to be Lyle. If we Lyle just didn't be Lyle as a penalty, but he's too honest.
Yeah.
And again, it's, for me it's bad refereeing, he shouldn't be punished for being honest, you know. But I'm not starting on the ref because, well, even in the one in the second half where he plays an advantage for us, and we've got a free kick at the edge of the box,
he plays advantage, but then doesn't even book Scott Ross for the foul. You would think, well, okay, let the play go, then come back and book him, but he didn't even speak to him.
I know. But it was good, and you know, it gets us winning, and you know, we're 2 weeks away for the league, and that's why Simon wasn't too happy about coming off, but you could see he was tiring a wee bit, and I didn't want to call in any muscle, because some of the work he does, even tracking 5A later on in the game there before he came off, it's a magnificent play. A lot of people don't quite appreciate it, but you know, he puts in a power of work, and these guys are important to his Conroy again. See games in the drop where you think he might be exposed against faster guys, but he's getting there tight, and he's playing the position well, so it was good. And it was good to get Jadell in, and that's why I went 5-4-1 to finish, just to protect him a wee bit.
Yeah, but
I don't know if he needs protection, because
there was glimpses there that he likes the ball at his feet, and he was taking players on even in that 5-10 minutes. Well,
as he's game face, even Gerard Academy, and they'll probably, I mean, we've already seen him in Inverurie when he tried to ping a ball. He pinged it right at the back. The problem I've got is he's now training with John McGlynn at the end. So it's just trying to, we will need to somewhere in between to, you know, sort of play is not to play. But what I really like about him is he gets time, quick. He's there all the time. And I mean, before we go on to this, have you got no ground because he can be cynical?
Mm-hmm.
Stay in your feet because he's quick. He's quick. So that was good to get along.
And it shows as well that the depth, the quality you've got in your squad now, that you can bring on players like Janelle, or you're bringing on Derek Lyle, or even Chop and Change, that you've got Jordan and Cookie to come on as well.
Cookie's actually, for quite a while now, he's had a kind of a really bad chin injury. And every time, even the warm up the other night, he banged it again. And so I watched him the day warming up, and he was still limping. So we'll just try and get him right. And, but we have, you know, we have got a decent squad there. Not the biggest squad, but, you know, quite happy. Even we there, comes on and he knows what you're expecting, you know, that work rate. So it's good.
I think we can safely say Jim was pleased overall. One thing I want to mention as well is the pressing that we did even late on in the game. You know, you mentioned it in commentary. Even at the 92nd minute, Scott Brown was still chasing every ball, and that's a testament not only to the players' commitment but their fitness as well.
Yeah, for being so early on in the season, especially such a hot day as well. I mean, the players could be forgiven for the last 10, 15 minutes sort of easing off, but no, that wasn't the case. Even the substitutes, when they come on, they seem really up to speed as well, again, in terms of fitness. So, really good to see. I think towards the back end of last season, we've just seen a lot of glimpses of what Jim was maybe trying to install for potentially this season in terms of a higher press and trying to be on the front foot a wee bit more. So yeah, it bodes well for this season. I think the young guys we've got in the team, that pressing game, we could maybe play it more often. I think we're good when we do have the ball as well. So Saturday, as we said, very hot conditions, so still be pressing out as well as what we were on this high. As you said, the 92nd minute was really pleasing to see.
And going by what Jim was saying, it sounds like that he's expecting more to come from the players as well, which can only be a good thing.
I think he recognises as well the talent that's in the team. You know, as you said in your interview there, players coming off the bench with experience, but also the quality of Derek Lyle. You've got Cookie, we've got Andy McCarthy come back, Darren Kesson was coming off the bench, Danny Strachan as well. So these are good players. It's a squad, but they're not just here for numbers. I think, as we mentioned last week, when a player comes out, there's quality coming in. If you have a couple of bad games, you will be replaced. I think that bodes well for the season because, as I said, if you've had a couple of bad games, your place is in jeopardy, whereas perhaps in previous seasons, players are sort of coasted through the season, knowing that, well, there's nobody really can take my position, or you'd have to change the shape quite a bit to factor in somebody else. I think, so far, it's looking really promising pre-season.
Right, we'll get a quick word for a couple of players. First of all, we're going to hear for one of the goal scorers, Russell McLean.
Okay, Russell, fantastic win on Saturday overall. I think it was a pretty fair result, do you think?
I thought it was quite a comprehensive win. First half, I thought we were much the better team, created more chances, arguably had more of the ball, which I don't think many of us expected going into the game. Because you know that you're covering a team like you keep it. And then the second half, once we got our third goal, we kind of killed the game and got a hold of the ball better. But certainly a good all-round performance and result.
For you, getting your first goal back as well, was that is that kind of key to settling you down as well?
Yeah, that's it. Off the back, off the mark. That's G1 as soon as possible. So I was glad to see one. I don't know. I don't think we're going to make it. I'm going to have to put it on the ground, but just glad to see it go the line.
And how are you enjoying the being back? Because I think your first kind of couple of games, you've looked kind of strong. You've looked aggressive.
I'm enjoying it. I'm playing a better style of football that suits me personally as well. So. It's all coming together quite nicely for me personally. Obviously, just the more games you play, the better understanding nice me, Lyle, and Hamish will get, because obviously I've not played weekend. So that is just started well, but I think we've still got a couple of levels that we can go up.
Did it surprise you how easy it seemed to be on Saturday? Because as you said, for large parts of the game, it was pretty one sided.
I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was surprising the way that they played. They played a formation that I think one of the boys said to me they'd never played it before. It obviously didn't work for them. But certainly, having played against Cove last year and beaten them two times out of three, I know that you can get at them and they are beautiful. For all that they have good players and they play good football, they are beautiful. So it wasn't a kind of surprise, no.
And does that kind of lay down a marker for the league campaign, knowing that they are one of the favourites to be in a title fight?
Aye, for us it does at least in a marker, but there'll always be that excuse from other teams and perhaps Cove that they had COVID issues and it was a nothing game and whatnot. But we were of the mindset before the game that we'd put into that game to put down a marker and to show that. I think I've seen one of the boys put in the odds into the chat, and we are the least favourites to win the league, which would probably translate to meaning that the bookies have got us the favourites to get relegated. So that kind of is an added incentive for us, because in my mind there's no reason we should not be in the relegation zone. So Saturday was kind of a marker for the Cove and to tell our teams that we need to be taken seriously this year.
I think you did pick up a wee knock midway through the second half. Is that anything to kind of be concerned about?
To be honest with you, I've spoken to the coach in the Hearts game. I got battered a bit in the Hearts game. I took a wee cramp or a spasm in my back and my hip was sore. But I can't remember taking any new knocks on Saturday, but I'm fine. I'll be fine. We'll be fit for next Saturday anyway.
So you've got a wee break back again on Saturday. So Stirling's obviously proved to be quite a dark horse in the group stage so far. So this will be just as tough as any other three games so far.
Stirling have got a very good team together. Obviously got Jack Leach, who was appearing in previously, who's a very good player. So it's not going to be. Their group is probably the hardest group in the competition. There's no easy game, so Saturday will be another tough test. It's away, it's down there. It's not one that's just one around the corner for me, but it'll be a tough game, it'll be a good game, and probably a good one to finish on before we go into the league campaign.
Right, we'll also hear from defender Jason Brown.
Okay, Jason, 3-1 win, 3 goals. How do you sum up that win on Saturday?
Yeah, looking back, it was a good afternoon's work. I mean, I think the performance level was very high, and I think we ran out deserved winners on Saturday. So no, it was like I said, it was a good weekend's work.
Did it kind of surprise you how one sided it seemed to be in stages of the game?
No, we know how good a team Cove are, so we kind of set out that we couldn't really let them have a chance to try and get a foothold in the game, and that's. That's the way we wanted to play. So no, we all carried out our jobs to the plan, and it was a good outcome for us. So that was the way we wanted it to go.
And for you and the rest of your defenders to restrict Megason and McAllister to only one or two chances must be pleasing for you overall.
Yeah, look, I think that's what the most disappointing thing is. We didn't actually get a clean sheet because we didn't feel in the game that they had. Many clear cut opportunities, so it was kind of one shot in the first half. Maybe I know Brett had a good save as well, but apart from that, they didn't really create much. But we're a wee bit disappointed that we let that clean sheet go. No, but we carried out our jobs pretty well, and we're happy with that.
You mentioned Brett there. Brett, as you said, had two or three good saves as well. So how good it for you this season, knowing that you've got another couple of good keepers that can be called upon at any time?
Yeah, no, it's great. I think Lenny's done well as well, so it's good competition all over the pitch this year. So no, we've got two good young goalies, so that steads us in good stead for the season, hopefully.
And for you, when you're playing against Cove, is it more difficult, or is it more is it easier to play guys that you know well?
Yeah, well, I think everyone knows that I'm close with a number of other players, so it's a weird one. But no, it's like I said, when you cross that white line and the whistle goes, you're only concentrating on one thing, and that's just playing your normal game and hoping to get the best outcome for Peterhead as possible. And I'm glad that we were able to do that on Saturday.
There were signs as well as the game progressed that they were becoming more and more frustrated. Does that bode well that you can frustrate them that easily going into the league campaign?
Yeah, definitely. I think we wanted to put a marker down to before the game. I think that's what the instruction was as well, to let them know that how good a side we are. And so, yeah, we feel that hopefully it'll stand us in good stead for the rest of the season. And yeah, just to let and I think everyone there seen how much deserved winners we were, so it was very pleasing for us, giving us some confidence going forward.
And how are you finding your partnership with Andy McDonald now? It's a number of games that you've played with each other now. How's that partnership going along?
Yeah, really good. I think we're two relatively young centre halves, but we're experienced as well. We've both played a number of games, so no, we're still learning as each game goes. And I think on Saturday we got stronger as the game went on. So no, we're looking forward to that. It's still very early in the season for us as well. So no, we'll be looking to build a really strong partnership for the start of the season. Hopefully keep that going for the rest of the season. So I'll get on with Big Andy really well. He's a great player. So hopefully we can have a right good season at it.
And Saturday was a milestone for you. 150 appearances for Peterhead. That's it's quite a feat for you.
Yeah, it's good to see that. I didn't actually know it was my 150th on Saturday until after the game. So no, it's been brilliant. I've loved every minute of it, and I hope there's plenty more to come.
It was difficult to kind of pick out two players that were standing out. I think everybody had a particularly good game, even the subs, but. Russell and Jason were particularly good at both ends of either end of the park, I should say.
Yeah, I think their height and their strength, you know, it gave Cove an issue the whole game. Especially, I think McLean going forward, he was a nuisance, which he has been since he's come back. He's a nuisance to play against. I certainly felt that when we played for Montrose against us, he's a handful the whole game. Certainly, Cove didn't like playing against him, but yeah, as you said, it's difficult to pick out a player that didn't have a good game. Even the subs that came on, as I said earlier, they seemed to be up to speed very quickly when they came on. So yeah, it was a good afternoon's work.
And 150 games for Jason as well, which is a big milestone for anybody. It's particularly good for you know, lower league clubs or lower league players, as we kind of keep saying year after year. It's just it's 1 year and you're away kind of thing. So for him to be there for what's his fifth season now, 150 games, it's shown a lot of consistency.
He's getting better every season that goes by. I think maybe a couple of seasons ago there was maybe slight question marks regarding the amount of mistakes or the concentration, but I'll probably jinx it now, but I think this last 6 months, especially since we, you know, after the restart and we've come back, I think we've seen a really strong player, and he's almost one of the first players on the team sheet now. When you're writing the team for a Saturday, you'd think, well, he's almost a stick on to be playing if he's not injured or suspended. So, yeah, again, it shows his commitment to the club, but also his consistency and how much he's improved over the last 18 months or so.
I've said to you a couple of times, maybe in the last year or so, I don't think I've made it public, but I think he's genuinely got to be, he's up there for a captain in years to come. Not only because of his improvement, but you can tell that he's well liked by the dressing room. He's got a drive, he's got a determination. He's probably the exact opposite of Scott Brown in terms of being vocal, whereas Scott's quite quiet. But you can see he's got that kind of attributes to be a leader and a captain maybe at some point down the line.
I think we had this conversation about a year ago that wasn't on the recording, but you said for Jason for captain, I think I said something along the lines of his temperament and the red cards may slightly hinder him. I think certainly if that's cut out of his game, and there's still glimpses of it, but I think if you take that out of Jason, then you're going to lose a lot from his game. He's a very aggressive defender, but he seems to be challenging it more in an active way rather than just being aggressive for the sake of it. I think there's, I think it was maybe the Hearts game where there was an incident, looked like he was going to get involved and then he just walked away. Whereas I think this time last year he'd have been straight in, nipping at the referee and maybe got himself into trouble with a booking, which can cost him later on in the game. So I totally agree with you, there's a captain in him. I've just got question marks, especially with the last, you know, a year ago, whether his temperament, but he's certainly improved on that so far.
Yeah, so hopefully he's going to bang in another 150. He's still 50-odd behind Jordan, like, but Jordan's been here a wee bit longer, so we can maybe let him off for that. Before we move on to the final game of the group campaign, I want to ask you your thoughts on the League Cup and the way it's structured at the minute. And the reason why I bring this up is because I think it was last week, you might have seen it, Dick Campbell was voicing his concerns about whether or not teams were treating it as warm-ups for the league campaign. So it was essentially just four friendlies. And he also followed that up by saying that the teams are quite happy to take the sponsors' money for the competition and just treat it as friendlies. Part of me kind of agrees with him slightly, but there's also part of it, I think there's a few teams do take it quite serious.
I've got to agree with him because I think the first recording we came back, I said it's, if anything, it's good pre-season games for us. I think teams do take it seriously to an extent. I think we've seen that when Hearts came up, there was a very strong team, and I think even Cali when they played on Tuesday. I think there's more expectation on the higher ranked teams to do well than there is the lower league teams. I certainly think teams in League 1 and League 2 would perhaps take it as a good pre-season campaign. I also think it depends on the group. If you've got a group that you look at and you go, you know, we fancy it. I certainly think from my point of view, when the draw was made and that I seen we've got Cove, Hearts and Cali, it's going to be difficult to get through, but it would be good pre-season game. So, yeah, I see Dick Campbell's point of view. I certainly think they're good pre-season games. I don't read too much into it, but then, you know, as we'll see on Saturday, there is teams that maybe spring a surprise and they'll go through to the next round of the Premier Sports Cup and do well. But to me, it's just glorified pre-season games, I'm afraid.
I think the couple of points that you make here, I think if you take the seeding out of it and make it a much more open draw, that then may make it a little bit more interesting and give like so Peter Head or Stirling or whoever it is, maybe a more realistic chance of getting through. It kind of does favour, as you said, it favours the likes of Hearts and the Championship teams or even the Premier League teams that are in it. It favours them to go through. So you maybe take that as well. But the other thing as well is the fact that this is the sixth year that it's been done since it was introduced in 2016. And because of the regionalisation of the draw, you end up playing more or less the same teams, and since in the 6 years Peterhead have been drawn against Dundee three times, they've been drawn against Hearts twice, East Fife, Cove all twice. So if you're drawing Dundee three times out of six, it's almost like every second year you're facing Dundee, or every second year you're facing Hearts, because one year they were in the Europa League, so only five times that they've been into this stage, but we've been drawing them twice, so it does become a little bit almost like too familiar?
Yeah, I like the regionalisation. I think, you know, if you were to draw teams, for example, Ayr, Kilmarnock, Queen's Park, you know, it's a lot of travelling, so I do like the regionalisation. My only thing to make it potentially slightly more competitive is the timing of it. You've got the Betfred, the Premier Cup, I keep calling it Betfred Cup, the Premier Cup now, where it starts before the league campaign. So I can sort of see why teams class it as an extra pre-season friendly, these four games. So there's maybe an argument to say, right, you have your league starting in August and moving everything back 6 weeks. The cup competition would start from, say, the fifth league game onwards. You've got, you know, after the international break or before the international break in September that they have, then maybe starting the cup competition. So that teams have got a feel for the season and they can see where they're at and then put out a team rather than having it before the season, where I think sort of plays in a team hand lower league down, like lower down the leagues for having these pre-season games.
Could they even, and this is probably highly unlikely with the amount of games and schedules already in place, but maybe have the group stage spread out across the first quarter of the season, sort of having it all in one sort of batch. Start your season off end of July, beginning of August, but then say maybe the first couple of Wednesdays or Tuesdays, whatever it is, through the course of August and September.
Yeah, I think that there's certainly looking for ways to improve it. I just think that the fact that you're starting all before the league campaign starts sort of plays into teams' hands to treat it as a pre-season friendly or glorified game, however you want to go for it. But at the same time, sponsors and they're nae daft. With all due respect, they don't want to see Peterhead versus Stirling in the Premier Cup quarter final. They want to see your Premiership teams on top half of the Championship. So you can sort of see why it's geared up to the way it is. I guess teams would argue there's European football, it's a congested schedule anyway, so they don't want it to be started after the league campaign. Ava logistics as well, but I certainly think that Campbell's probably right, where clubs are happy to take the sponsors' money, kind of blame them, but also that it's pre-season glorified games.
And Dick's been around long enough to know this kind of things, and he usually does kind of talk some good sense.
He's a character of the game.
Yes, absolutely. So let's talk about the final one then on Saturday against Stirling away from home. Stirling have been the kind of dark horses, as I said earlier on, with their one win, draw and a loss, and I think they've got the penalty shootout win as well. I think they've got the extra point for that. So they're doing well. In fact, they're doing that well that they could still potentially qualify in second. I know Hearts have won with their three wins, but they're still in a fight and could potentially go through.
Yeah, they have been, I'd maybe go as far as say, a wee bit of a surprise package. But having said that, Jim, when we spoke to him, rates Stirling very highly. He thinks he'll do well in the League Two this season. So it's a game that, not that I think we would take it lightly, but I suppose it's a lower league club, you could say it's a potential banana skin, but you know they've also beaten Cove in the opening day as well. So a team not to take lightly, but one that I think we've got a confidence of when they're doing there and get the win.
They've invested well in the summer and they've brought in some great experience, and I think potentially this is what Stirling have done this summer is what a lot of the League Two sides will be doing in the future because of that trap door that's now below them, that it's well and truly open, and you know you've got teams like Beacon who've slipped through that crack. I think they will come back, but we've seen other ones that have gone through that trap door and haven't come back yet. So I think that you'll see a lot of League Two clubs investing highly, but they've brought in guys like Dale Carrick, Ray Grant, Mark Laird. These are brilliant players. I mean, Ray Grant was playing for Alloa in the Championship last season. Dale Carrick used to play for Hearts and Energy. I mean, no offence to Stirling, they shouldn't be playing in League Two.
I think we've both seen Dale Carrick released from Airdrie, or his contract expired at roughly about the same time. You know, we both said, oh, you know, it'd be a cracking player if he came to Peterhead, because, again, a player that I liked when he was at Airdrie. So, as you said, you just suspect to Stirling, you'd expect them to be playing at a higher level. But, again, as you pointed out, there's that trap door in League Two. I think over the next couple of years, we'll find that being a really competitive league. Whereas in the past, team was good doing, and as you said, they're quite happy to sort of course through a couple of years and see if it happens. Now they've got that realisation where they could drop out. I've got a bit of a concern for Beacon. Okay, you said they'll come back up. I think they might struggle for a few years because they seem to have been in free fall for the last 4 years. They have struggled. But again, they've assembled a good squad and a couple of good players come in the last couple of weeks. So I think League Two, like all the divisions just now, are really competitive. And yeah, there's a lot of good players kicking about in League Two.
Should be. It's difficult, but you want to try and do as well as you can. But you know that 6 points isn't going to be enough to put us through. I mean, we could finish second. Mathematically, that's how things go. And if Hearts can beat Inverness as well, if we beat Stirling, you know, we could finish second. It's not going to get us anywhere, but you know, at least you finish second in the group. So, do you take it, 100% serious, and this is maybe going back to what we were saying about the actual League Cup you know, campaign thing. Do you take it seriously or do you not? And then just keep a focus on the next week's game, which is Alloa, and get through it without any injuries.
I think this is one of them games where if you come through with no injuries, no knocks going into the Alloa game the week after, and putting in a good performance, because as you said, we could win the game but still may go through. So, yeah, it sort of slightly takes the mockery a little bit in terms of you could win the game, but you can't do anything with it apart from get the 3 points. So I think good performance. If you get the win, brilliant, but the performance and they get knocks and niggles going into the Alloa game, so you're, you know, fully prepared. It's maybe the time to, you know, we've seen Darren Kessin come off the bench on Saturday. You know, does he start and get the minutes in the legs so everybody's sort of up to speed as best they can going into the Alloa game? So a few questions for Jim, but I think, as I said, good performance and the injuries, and I'd probably be pretty happy with that.
Andy McCarthy's still going to be out with his hamstring, so I think he's the only one that we're got any concerns about. But yeah, as you said, it's probably a chance to kind of rotate slightly. I'd guess maybe Lenny Wilson will start this one as well and give both his keepers two games.
I'm looking forward to seeing who he starts with against Alloa, because like you, I think he'll go 2 for 2 for both keepers. And as I said, when you're writing this score on paper, I would say 90% of your team, you could probably pick the Alloa game injury-free, suspension-free. Just got that question mark over the goalkeeper on who Jim will start with.
It's just over 2 years since we last played them. Obviously, it was in the league. Do you remember when and where it was and why it was so significant?
I could try and bluff my way out of it. I'm not going to. I'm guessing there's a stat behind it.
It was the last home game of the 18-19 season when Jack Leach put us 1-0 up, and we had were hands on the trophy.
And then the 90th minute,
McDonald scores an equaliser. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm still waiting.
Yeah, I've tried to block that one out. That's fine.
I'm still primed and ready to do my pitch invasion, which I couldn't get to do that day. But but that was the only time that they actually took points off us that season. So, you know, we've a fairly good record against them. But again, I think this one is slightly different in terms of the last couple of seasons against them.
Yeah, I think obviously the squads have changed quite a lot since then. As you just said, Stirling have recruited really well, given the fact that they've got that trap going on League 2 that they could slip through. I think Stirling will be up there or thereabouts for coming up. I certainly think if they don't win the title, they'll be in the playoffs for promotion. As I said, it's a game we kind of take lightly, but it's one that I think we should have the confidence to win.
Yeah, and just as you said, just get through it. And then start concentrating on the league campaign, which is the bread and butter.
Yeah, I think you know, Jim will tell you that he's probably not overly fussed what happens on Saturday, as long as we got off to a good start in the league. And because, as I say, it's going to be a real competitive division. I think there's going to be a couple of teams doing the bottom. I think we mentioned it the other week that there's probably two or three that would be fighting doing there with us. And it's just about making sure we get enough points. And I think a good start, the last couple of years, when I made the best start to a league campaign. So getting points on the board is crucial. But again, it's got to be a tough season.
Well, according to Russell McLean, we're one of the favourites to go down. So we'll have to rectify that. Which, in all fairness, is probably a good call by the bookies, considering, you know, the teams above us. But I would suggest that maybe there's a cluster of maybe 3 or 4 that they think will be down at the bottom.
I'd imagine the bookies, without checking, they would have probably had Clyde, Dumbarton, Peterhead, and I'd imagine that there wouldn't have been much in it for them tipping to go down.
Yeah. Okay, so that'll do us for this week then. I do hope you've enjoyed it. As always, my thanks go to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.